It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Enhanced CBD, bringing you the best CBD products on the market. Head over to their website and use code SUPERNECESSARY for 10% off at checkout.
It's also brought to you by Forces Fightwear, bringing you premium boxing equipment and apparel. Go to their website and use code SUPERNECESSARY10 for 10% off.
And it's also brought to you by Performance Box, high-quality sports supplements. Use code SUPERNECESSARY for 10% off your subscription.
It was super necessary.
God, Eric, my God!
Unbelievable! Just like that! Done and done! You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
He can't say much other than wow.
Hello and welcome back to Super Necessary. Very different episode for us. The first one we've ever done, like, in person with each other. And obviously, we've got a whole bunch of new equipment. And it's weird at the minute, not going to lie. Not used to doing it like this. But it's the progression we need. And it's the progression you're going to see, hopefully, going forward. Very much. Does it feel as weird to you as it does to me?
We're professionals now, lads. This is it. We've got all the equipment. But it does. It feels weird, you know. It's a massive difference going from a webcam to a real cam, proper camera, yeah, with all the equipment. But it's new and it's fun. So yeah, looking forward to it.
So all we're going to be doing today is just, we've got a few listener questions, and really we just wanted to do this to test out the equipment more than anything. So. Let's get straight into it. We haven't got many listener questions, so we've got a few for each other. And then we're going to just sort of finish off by letting you know what we've got planned for the future. Not going to give too much away, because we don't want people robbing our boss ideas.
That ours, no one else's.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll give as much away as we can without giving anything away. It's probably pointless me actually saying it, to be honest, but, you know, let's just do it anyway.
We'll just mention it. Yeah. We'll just mention it.
Do you want to get the questions up?
Yeah, okay.
So I'd say we haven't got that many. I think we got three overall. Bless you. so we didn't get many overall. I think we got three. And then so we've just thought of a few for each other.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one then is from Chris at Unmatched MMA. He says the real Brooklyn gangster Alia Quinta just said he wants either Tony Ferguson or Nate Diaz as his return opponent. Who would you rather see him fight and why? And who do you see winning?
So we want either Tony or Nate.
Yeah.
Tony. I'd rather see him fight Tony. I think Tony's a better opponent overall. I think Diaz is more... Diaz has become a money fight ever since he beat McGregor. I don't think... Diaz is great, but he's never really been that elite level fighter, in my opinion. He's before the Conor McGregor fight... Let's be honest, he was chosen because McGregor thought it was going to be an easy win.
Yeah.
And I think since then he's become a money fight because he won. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Diaz, but if Alia Quinta wants the best fight possible for him, then it's Ferguson, no doubt.
And who do you think would win?
It's hard to say at the minute because obviously Tony's on this fucking 3-fight losing streak. So any other time you'd say Tony, but... With him being on that, I think it's a difficult one to call.
So he's losing, but he's not getting proper beat, is he? You know, he's going decisions, he's not getting knocked out, he's not getting submitted. So I think that makes for a good fight. I think I would probably go Ferguson as well. would Diaz actually take the fight with Aya Quinta?
Probably not, no. I don't think he would. Again, Diaz sees himself as the money fight. He believes he's a big draw, which he is because of the McGregor fight, as I say, but I don't think he would take the fight myself. I think Ferguson would. But you say Ferguson's not getting beat, like, battered, but, like, he was never in that fight with Beneil.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know, so just because he's going to decision doesn't mean he's not getting battered.
Yeah.
It's like Chris Moutinho. He got battered everywhere, but, well, he should have went to decision, but it never.
Yeah, and isn't Diaz looking at a fight with Dustin at middleweight? You seen that?
No. What? Why?
So apparently he said on Twitter, 185, show up or something like that to Dustin, and he said, I'd basically kill you everywhere, regardless. I don't know why he's looking at middleweight, but...
No, I mean, that makes no sense for Dustin.
Like, yeah, of course.
He's got the title fight next. Why go up a weight? Why risk? Why... No.
Maybe Diaz is thinking, well, you've just fought Conor twice. Money fight. Come get another money fight. I'll have a go at you.
No. I don't think Dustin wants that type of fight anymore. I think the McGregor fight made sense because it was the trilogy. Now go and get the belt that everyone thinks he's going to get. I think people are thinking that's a foregone conclusion straight away. Like, but I don't know. I think we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. I think as well, obviously Aya Quinta's called for them too, but I think everyone's more looking forward towards Conor probably fighting one of those. You know, Diaz or Ferguson. So I don't know even if he gets the fight, even though he's called for them.
I think for Conor next, the fight that makes sense is the Diaz trilogy. Round that one off and then see where he goes from there. He doesn't deserve... Why get another shot at Dustin? Just because of the way the fight ended. He still lost a round.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense for me to fight Dustin again. I'd rather see him do the trilogy with Diaz and then... If he wins, see if he can start getting back up the rankings, which I personally don't believe he will or can, but who knows.
See, the only way that fight with Diaz makes sense to me is because Diaz is unranked. I don't think Conor should be fighting anyone in the top 15. People might be mad about that, but I don't think he should. I think that's the only way that fight makes sense, because for him to go up to welterweight and then say, oh yeah, well, I'll fight Dustin after he's had the title... Well, you come back down to lightweight. You know what I mean? You're not improving your record anywhere there. So it's... Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's... Say, Conor's always going to be in and around it because of who he is. And it's a shame on people who get overlooked. But at least we know Dustin's getting the shot next. So him and Olive should be a good fight. But no, yeah. Again, to answer the question, Tony. To fight Aya Quinta and Tony to win. But it'd be close.
Why do you think the time off for Aya Quinta is going to play the thing in it if he fights him?
No, I don't. I think that's a bit of a... I think with a lot of fighters, that's a bit of a myth. Because even if they take time off and not fighting, a lot of them are still always in that same frame
still
of mind.
They're still
training. They're still... You know, it's like Nathan said, and other fighters we've had on the podcast have said, they're never really out of fight camp.
Yeah, yeah.
They're always kind of in it anyway, so... They're always got that mentality. They're always sort of ready to go. So I think it's a little bit of a myth. The whole, is time off going to affect them thing?
I think it's just another thing for them to go in with, isn't it? Well, you've been out for ages. Obviously, you're going to have ring rust. But with Summit, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something for the media to put on them.
Yeah.
And another thing for them to think about. Shall we move on to the next question then?
Go on, get the next one.
So the next one is from Cyrus, at Cyrus King. He said, do you want to see Conor v. Dustin Part 4? If you do you think it's possible it might be for the championship?
No, I don't want to see Conor and Dustin Part 4 in the slightest. If it does happen, I think it could well be for the title. Obviously, as we mentioned, we know Dustin's got the next shot at Olives. If he wins that, you know, looking at what Dana said, Dustin seems to be up for Part 4. Dana seems to be very willing to put Part 4 on. If he wins the belt or not, unless he says you can have Part 4, but you've got to have it at welterweight or something, then it's going to be for the belt.
But Dana's obviously got to have some sort of hope that maybe maybe Dustin loses, so then he can make that path for, or is he going to be a Conor arse-licker and give him the title anyway, even if Dustin wins?
For me, personally, as much as I like Dustin, if it's going to be a case of if he wins the belt, Conor's getting a shot at the belt, I want Olives to retain. I'm impartial towards it at the minute. Who wins? I like both of them. So it's a win-win for me. But if it's going to be a case of Dustin gets the belt, then Conor gets a shot at the belt, I hope Dustin doesn't get the belt.
Yeah, I agree.
Just for the simple fact that Conor doesn't deserve it.
No, he doesn't. As I say, I don't think he should really be fighting anyone in the top 15. For me, he shouldn't even be ranked 7 at lightweight, but...
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
Ranked 7 at lightweight with one win in the division.
Yeah, since what, 2016?
Yeah.
So, for me, that's mind-boggling, but obviously... It is how it is. He's the money fight, you know. That for me, that's all he's got to him right now.
Yeah.
He's the money fight, you know. His biggest weapons were his striking and his trash talking, and now he can't even do them.
As I've said to you, I don't think his head's in it anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it as much as he wanted it in the past. 2016 McGregor was a different animal. 2021 McGregor is just, he's a money man now. That's all he cares about. He cares about making money, getting paid. He's not really in it for the fights anymore. He looks like he is in training and stuff like that, but really, for me, it's kind of like, oh yeah, he's showing off his physique and how much muscle he's put on. Like,
yeah,
be a bodybuilder then.
he is still an animal, but he's a cash cow.
Yeah. No, I don't think his head's in it anymore. And like my PT said, you know, it's hard to be hungry when you vet as well as the McGregors.
Yeah, and he's eating every day.
That's what I mean. He sat there eating fucking gold-plated fucking caviar or something. But that's the money he's made. That allows him to do it. Fair play to him. You can't knock his drive and determination in that sense. But as I say, in terms of fighting, you can tell he doesn't have that same drive anymore.
Yeah, and as much as we're not fans of him, we can admit that he's done big things for MMA. You know, he's drawn more fans to it. You know, he was good coming up, but now he's just, as we said, he's eating every day. He's got a fucking globe on his wrist every day with that watch.
I know, yeah, fucking hell. No, the one thing we've always said is we're not fans of McGregor the man. McGregor the fighter, at least back in the day anyway, was great.
Mm.
I just always wanted them to lose. But and I still do, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's McGregor the man that we've never liked. Mm. And continue to not like. And you were nearly changing not so long ago.
I know.
And I told you it was all a front and you didn't believe me.
He nearly had me with the whole nice McGregor, but obviously that was
for him. I told you it was all put on. I've told you, you've got to start listening to me more. It's just the way the world goes. He's good for the sport in a sense of how much attention he brings to it. But the reason he brings that attention is because he's toxic.
Do you think now, though, it's expected, like, he needs to be the bad guy? Like, when he's the good guy, no one likes him. You know what I mean? So do you think it's expected?
To an extent, yeah. I think... See, no, actually, tell a lie, I don't think it is, because I think regardless of how his fans, his arse-licking fans, are still going to lick his arse no matter what.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what he... Look at the bus attack. That got, as I've always said, that got put in the fucking...
The promo
for the Khabib fight.
Yeah.
Criminal damage. He's assaulted people, essentially.
And he caused a lot of mental health issues for people on that.
That's what I mean.
That's trauma, isn't it?
Anyone else on the roster, they'd be cut immediately. And if they got brought... And if they ever had another fight in the company, it wouldn't be anywhere near the promo. But because it's McGregor, his fans lapped it up.
Yeah.
And then had a go at Khabib for jumping out the cage and attacking Dylan Danis and that. And my stance on it was, be pissed off when all that happened. Be pissed off at Khabib if you want. But you've got to be pissed off at... If you were pissed off at McGregor, be pissed off at Khabib. If you ain't pissed off at McGregor, you can't be pissed off at Khabib.
Yeah, like what Khabib done was small to what McGregor done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people will shit on that.
It was a dick move. But he'd been pushed into it, and I understand to an extent why Khabib done that on that night.
Mm.
But McGregor was just being a petulant child as he always is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so...
Fuck McGregor.
I think we've covered that. I think we've covered our dislike for McGregor. But
I don't think we've mentioned it enough, you know, to be honest.
Don't you think?
No.
Oh, okay.
We might come back to that in future, that we hate McGregor now.
Possibly later, because I've got a question for you, but it's sort of been answered, but you can still answer it.
Yeah, I'm sure we can answer it more.
So we'll move on to the next one then. So it's Greg from the And Then Some podcast. Let me find it, at ATSM_podcast. He's asked, what male and female fighters would you mate together to create a super fighter? Mine's Brock Lesnar and Holly Holm. Combine Brock's top game with Holly's striking.
Okay. It's an interesting question. So, I'm going to go Francis Ngannou and Prime Ronda Rousey.
Okay. Nice.
Like, imagine Ronda. Imagine Francis's knockout power with Ronda's, I'm going to get you in an armbar no matter what you do, ground game.
Yeah. That's a scary fighter.
That is a scary fighter. It was in my head, it was a toss-up between Ronda and Amanda. But I thought, I'm going to go Ronda on this one.
Terrible.
I know it is, but as I say...
It's terrible because you almost took my choice.
No, I think the only reason I went with Ronda is because in her prime, she made everything look so effortless. And so does Amanda, but like, we hadn't seen it before when Ronda was doing it.
Yeah.
Especially from a female fighter anyway. So I think Ronda was the first, in the UFC anyway, she was the first global female superstar.
Yeah.
In the UFC. And so every fight with her was a main event. And you look at the way Amanda sort of gets disrespected now. She's not even the main event as a world champion. She's below an interim title fight.
That's ridiculous for me.
She's a double champ and she can't even main event a card.
She can. She should. She has. But because it's the heavyweights, it's... Oh, no. You've got
to go below
the
heavyweights. Fair enough. I get that it's the heavyweights. It should be... That should be the co-main now. Yeah, it's not for a real title.
It's an interim title. It's below the actual title.
Yeah.
Amanda's defending her actual title. She should be main. But I've said this before, that's how it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think my choice would be Derek Lewis and Amanda. I think... Derek Lewis, he's got the power. If you get him down, somehow he gets up. Like, you can have him in side control. I'm just going to stand up. And then, obviously, Amanda's pressure, her striking. You know what I mean? I think that would make for a scary-ass fighter as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be Amanda Nunes on the Polish power.
Polish power?
Yeah.
Nice.
Polish power. Yeah, so that was certainly a very different question.
I liked that one. That was good, though.
Yeah, that's what we like.
Thinking.
So I did one on just Rob on, so obviously Cyrus has his own podcast and he asks for questions every week and he gets tons, but I seen one and it was interesting, so I'm going to rob it, so I'm going to still, we'll still give the person the credit who asked the question.
Yeah.
Her name is Pammy Cakes and at is underscore, Cakes underscore Pammy.
Okay.
So she asked this to Cyrus, but I like the question, so I'm going to rob it.
Thief.
So, which fighter do you think has the most loyal fan base and why is it the Diaz brothers? Is what she said.
If we're going for the Diaz brothers, I think it's the fact that they don't give a shit. They'll basically say how it is. They do what they want to do, so they get the loyal fan base. But I think the most loyal fan base outside of that, as mad as it sounds, it's probably got to be McGregor's because he can't do any wrong and they'll still back him up.
Yeah.
And here we are talking about McGregor again.
To be fair, for me, I think McGregor's fans are more loyal than Diaz because he can't do any wrong in their eyes.
Go on.
When I was watching the fight
today
from McGregor and Poirier,
yeah.
You know, it's like it's in America and they have a lot of American people, but they have a lot of American people booing Poirier.
Yeah.
Is that because they're so loyal to McGregor, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Poirier is an American fighter, and there was tons of Americans there, but most of them started booing Poirier.
That blew me mind, to be honest with you.
Didn't someone, I don't know if it was it Joe Rogan maybe mentioned it, like, throughout the whole night, you had everyone who wasn't from America getting booed.
Yeah.
And chance of USA all night, and then Dustin goes out and he's getting booed as the American, and it's like you're rooting for the enemy. Someone said, I can't remember who it was, but
I'm gonna have to find it. It's even when he's walking out the cage, he's getting booed. People are saying, "Oh shit," to him. It's like, how can you hate on him? You know what I mean? He's a decent man. He does things for charity. He's a quality fighter. It's just because your boy got fucked up at least now he's got the sleepy
McGregor pendant.
Yeah, seeing that with Jake Paul, yeah.
Which is, to be fair, I mean, again, he's auctioning it off for charity. He could have kept it and trolled him with it and wore it in if they ever fight again in a press conference, but no, he's going to use it for his charity.
One question I wanted to ask you is, do you think that first round was a 10-8? Does people seem sort of confused with this one? Like, do you think that first round was a 10-8?
I don't know if it was necessarily a 10-8. Because I think McGregor was, you know what? No, I don't, actually. No. I think it was a 10-9, definitely. McGregor lost the round, absolutely. But I don't think it was a 10-8, because McGregor was sort of decent on the feet for the first minute or so.
Yeah.
Even when he got him, you know, when it went to the floor, he had that guillotine attempt. And he was busy on his back, to be fair to him. He was hitting him with elbows.
Trying for up kicks and that. Yeah.
But obviously, they've took...
Two judges give it 10-8.
Yeah, they've obviously given it... You know, because Dustin's had the control, that's obviously what they've gone for.
Yeah.
But no, personally, I don't think it was a 10-8. I think it was a 10-9.
I agree. I think it was definitely a 10-9. I think, as you say, it comes down to control. Dustin controlled over half the round on the ground. If you're doing effective grappling, that's there as well. Effective striking, the elbows.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But again, if you're talking effective striking, you can talk about McGregor being effective in the same
Think that weren't effective grappling with McGregor was the guillotine.
The guillotine attempt. You know, he shouldn't have been going for
effective.
But no, it. I mean, as I say, he lost the round, but it definitely wasn't a 10-8.
No.
So, they were all the questions we got to this week. In fairness, we didn't give a lot of notice.
No.
I think we gave like less than 48 hours notice. We don't normally record in the day either, do we? So it's, but you know, it's red hot here in Liverpool today.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. Scorching. Not used to the heat.
British, we'll complain anyway.
Yep.
Absolutely scorching.
I mean, people know that about us by now. We do kind of just come on here to moan sometimes. Yeah. But you know, it's part of being British. Part of being British, we can't help it. Right. So as I said, we've got a few questions for each other. I think I've got three. I think have you got three as well?
I have three, yes.
Not including the one you've just asked me. So let me ask you one of mine first, and then you can go with one of yours. So this first question is about the podcast itself.
Okay.
So, what's been your favourite interview that we've done, and why?
You fucker.
I thought that'd be a nice question.
It is a nice question, but then it seems like the other ones haven't been as good. No, I mean, you make me put people in the dirt here.
Nothing like that, but it's just, I've got, on my other podcast, I've got probably favourite interviews there for different reasons. Yeah. Like, you can have more than one favourite interview on here, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
But if you had to choose just one, no slight on any of the others.
I don't know, that's a tough question.
That's why I asked it.
We've had a lot of good interviews, a lot of good fighters on.
We have.
Probably Boust, you know, Peter Boust.
Peter Boust.
I'm the Boust.
Who we can now pronounce his name properly.
Yeah. First time, what did you say, Beist?
I think, we said Beist because that's how I heard someone else pronounce it and he didn't correct them.
Yeah.
And then you asked him how it was pronounced and then he said like that, so.
Yeah. So I'd say Peter. I enjoyed that interview. I think that was only our second one, wasn't it? But you'd seen the progression in how we were on the camera. You know what I mean? It felt more natural.
Hopefully we don't look awkward right now.
Well, we'll find out when we watch it back. Yeah. But hopefully it looks authentic.
It'll definitely be authentic. Like, the one thing you can never say about us is we're not real. But I'd probably go along with that myself, to be honest, with Peter. I just think the way he was, he made you feel at ease. Kind of thing.
And he had that little secret about himself. So yeah. That was nice.
No. But no, it's just like, I think as with Peter, when we spoke to Mitch Chilson, and he mentioned about like the whole mentality of people in one championship, it made me appreciate the Peter one even more then.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he was the absolute personification of what one is. You know, everyone's welcome, everyone's your friend kind of thing. And Peter was saying, you know, people will come to his house and ask for autographs and that, and he'll say, yeah, come in, I've something to eat.
Yeah, like, and really, like...
Imagine, like...
Shocking almost, you know what I mean?
Imagine going to Brock Lesnar's house or something and saying, oh, sorry to bother you, but, like, can we have an autograph? And he just goes, oh, yeah, come in, I've something to eat. Yeah, Brock, you just know it's not going to happen.
Have a big piece of meat.
Yeah.
Eat like a man.
Like, ponytail Brock, let us in.
Ponytail Brock's scary.
Ponytail Brock's weird.
That was weird.
I wouldn't say it to his face, like, but nah, you know what, I probably would, but then I'd run away. But then he's fast. So no, I wouldn't say it to
his
face.
He's fast and he's going to wrestle you.
Yeah.
Fucked. So say it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's a ponytail Brock thing. Is scary, like. But yeah, he's crazy. He's mad. Yeah, I'd go with Peter myself. That was fun.
So the first one I had is, what do you make of O'Malley spending time with 6ix9ine? Do you think that makes his stock go down, or what do you think?
I think it should make his stock go down. Whether it does or not, obviously, remains to be seen. But I wouldn't want to be caught dead anywhere near 6ix9ine. You know, why would you want to be around someone who's a snitch and someone who's a nonce?
Yeah.
Like, the man's an actual convicted paedophile.
As I said, it's not a good mix, you know, being a snitch and a nonce.
The fella was fucking releasing songs from his house for the past year because he wasn't allowed out of his house. He's on house arrest.
I just think it's mad how he's got such a following, like, how people like him. He's not even good at his job. And then
I don't get it, because the same people that'll be like, ah, yeah, 6ix9ine, great, blah, 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 are the same ones who won't listen to R. Kelly anymore. Rightfully so, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How can you have two so... different opinions on two people who are
similar,
pretty, yeah, who've done, yeah.
For the same thing.
yeah,
exactly.
I don't get it, and it's like, yeah, he needs to be fucked off. That 6ix9ine.
Yeah,
I mean, his music's shite anyway. Like, if his music was decent, I'd go, it'd be a bit of a confliction. You go, oh, fucking hell, I want to listen to him because his songs are good, but he's a pedo, so I'm not gonna. Like R. Kelly,
yeah.
Like, if R. Kelly comes on my playlist now on Spotify, I'll turn it off a bit begrudgingly. Like, yeah. Fucking hell, it's a boss song now.
I used to like that, and now bloody, yeah. You know, he's a nonce.
But like, 6ix9ine's music's shite. So it's not even actually worth listening to regardless.
You can't even call it music. It's just...
I mean, you can, there is actual music in the background somewhere.
Just, he's a mumbler, and he's not a mumble rapper, he's just a mumbler.
He's just a
mumbler, what's that?
yeah, no, I think his stock should go down, but I don't think it will.
No, I don't think it will. People are weird.
So this is a bit of a... I'm going to have to explain this one a little bit, I think. But so who do you think is the one fighter who's got one particular part of their game that's overlooked, like an underrated part of their game? So, for instance, Khabib's striking. Mm. Nobody thinks Khabib's got the striking game, but you look at his record, and he's got a very even record in terms of how he's won fights.
Yeah.
So is there anybody you think fits in that bracket where they might get a... say it's a striker who might get a submission win out of nowhere, and you think, fucking hell, didn't know we could do that.
First one that comes to mind is Oliveira.
In what sense?
In a sense of, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu specialist. He does get a lot of wins by submission, but he can knock it out. You know,
yeah.
Like we've seen with Chandler, he has... I think his stand-up game is underrated, and he's showing it now. He's been showing it, you know what I mean? So... I think that would be my answer, Oliveira. He's a good jiu-jitsu specialist, but his striking is underrated.
Yeah. I think one of them, for me, would be Usman. Maybe not so much anymore after the Masvidal fight,
yeah.
But before that, Masvidal even said himself, I've took his best shot, and I can take it.
Obviously
he didn't, but I think that's part of it. And I think it was the same with like Khabib when he was fighting. Everyone was like, yeah, he can't stand with McGregor, he's going to get knocked out if he does. And then I thought the same, to be honest. In the back of my head, I was like, if he stands with him, it's game over.
Yeah.
But he stood with him and he put McGregor down.
He wobbled him, yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, McGregor got straight back up, but the fact that he put him down and it wasn't the other way around was huge.
And Habib's actually got an underrated chin as well.
That's what I mean.
You know,
so, yeah, I just thought that was an interesting way around to go about the question.
Yeah. Nice one.
So my last one isn't MMA related or anything, but it's quite fun. It'll make you think again.
Second one is, as I say, we've kind of answered it, but I'll say it anyway. So obviously everyone's still talking about Conor, as we can see. We're not the biggest fans, but what do you think's next for him, and what did you make of him saying he was injured before the fight?
So in terms of him being injured before the fight, at first I thought it was a convenient excuse, but then you see pictures of him and he has had the ankle strapped up and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he has had his leg strapped up for what looks like a considerable part of his camp, so maybe there was a bit of truth to it. I don't think it's enough to make us like just go, hey, I'm broke.
But for me, why come in with a kick heavy approach? You know, straight out the gate, he comes out with two spinning back kicks.
No, but see, the thing is as well, the doctors have apparently known about this and still let the fight go ahead.
Still cleared it, yeah.
So, one, if that's true, you've got to question the doctors.
And if it's not true,
everyone knows.
Was it as bad as he's making out?
It may have been, it may not have been, we don't know. But the one thing you can't take away from McGregor is he doesn't back out of a fight.
Yeah.
So you've got to give him that. And even if he was injured, he was never ever going to back out of that fight. And that's where the doctors need to come in and go, I'm not medically clearing you to fight.
Yeah.
So that's on the doctors.
Now he's out longer.
And why he's coming with a kick-heavy approach, again, that's probably the way that the camp has been based around. And he's just thought, that's how my camps went. That's what I'm doing.
Maybe.
And let's be honest. It's a freak accident. He might have been injured before it. He might not have been. That still could have happened regardless.
Yeah.
You've seen it before. Look at the Weidman fight.
Exactly.
That was the first
kick.
It was the first attack of the fight. It wasn't even the first kick. It was the first attack of any kind.
Yeah.
And Uriah Hall is the first person in UFC history to win a fight without throwing a fucking punch or a kick.
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
It's weird. It's a record I don't think anybody thought he'd ever get.
And will anybody else ever get it?
Well, no one else. No. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if they did, but that's what I'm saying. That could have happened regardless. So him being injured or not, I don't think makes a difference to it anyway. Yeah, it can be seen as a bit of a stupid thing to do, going in with a kick-heavy approach, but again, that's just him. If that's how he's gone in to the camp with, then that's what he's going to do. He's not the type of... I don't think he's versatile enough to change his game plan mid-fight. You've seen it in the second Dustin fight. He never checked a single kick.
Yeah.
And that proved part of his downfall. But he hasn't. I don't think he's got the fight IQ to be able to switch his approach mid-fight. And it's not just on him. That's not just me getting at him. You see it with a lot of fighters.
Yeah.
Mike Grundy. Was trying so much for the takedown. And as you know, we don't get wrong, we say it all the time. Surely there's got to be a time in the fight where a fighter goes, right, I need to change my approach. Obviously, it wouldn't be that easy, otherwise everyone would be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Usually that's where the coaches come in, but obviously and it didn't get past the first round, so he couldn't really get anything from the coaches
if he was
to even make that change.
No.
But so what do you think next for him? Obviously he's out until probably a year.
Next, I think, again, like I said before, I think next, forget about rankings for the time being. If Diaz is fit, go for the Diaz trilogy. Settle that. And I think if he does fight him again, he needs to beat him convincingly.
Yeah.
Because there is still the question marks about the second fight.
And the way to think it convincingly is putting Diaz out, which is hard, but
impossible.
That will do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nearly impossible. The way to do it convincingly would be to fucking submit him, but that's never happening.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I think that for me, I'd like to see the trilogy next. Another trilogy. So my last one, as I say, a little bit different here. So I'm going to give you five actors, right, one by one, and I want you to name, in your opinion, their best and their worst film.
Okay, go on.
All right. So first one, Jim Carrey.
My favourite?
Yeah, so what you've enjoyed the most from them and what you've disliked the most?
My favourite of Jim Carrey isn't even a comedy. It's Man on the Moon.
All right, okay.
For me, that's my favourite for him. His worst.
It's a difficult one for. To be fair, it's probably difficult for all of them. But
Kick-Ass. Okay, so Lauren's least favourite is Kick-Ass, but he's actually quite funny in that.
I liked him in it, yeah, myself.
I don't mind Kick-Ass. I don't know. Most of the films you've seen with him, he's good in it. You know what I mean? Liar, Liar, Ace Ventura. The one that I probably didn't like, probably Fun with Dick and Jane, maybe, even though that's good as well, but
okay.
It's not as good as the others.
Yeah, fair enough. Favourite would probably be
Cable Guy.
it's hard, like, because he's got so many good films.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Liar Liar.
And come the quotes
for least favourite. I'm gonna go with Lemony Snicker. Mm. I didn't like that.
Yeah. I've only seen bits of that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, there's still bits of funny Jim Carrey in it, but it's just a bit too weird for me.
Yeah.
But there's like, again, I could have chose either the Ace Ventura's Cable Guy, fucking The Mask, even a slightly newer one like Yes Man.
Yes Man? Yes Man.
Yeah, man. that was a good lad. But yeah, Lemony Snicket's probably my least favourite.
Yeah.
The one I've never watched still, and it's not a comedy or not, is Number 23.
I've watched that once, I think. Did I watch that with you? Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably give it a go at some point. Anyway, next one, Adam Sandler.
Worst Jack and Jill. That's easy.
That was easy.
Worst ever Jack and Jill. I don't know what he was thinking with that.
I know, yeah, fucking hell.
Don't know what he was going through, but that was shite. Favourite,
oh, fuck's sake. It's an odd one again, like, I'll give you that.
First one that springs to mind is Billy Madsen. Again, it's hard. He's got too many.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, even the grown-ups are good.
Yeah.
But Billy Madsen was one that sprung to mind first. So.
Fair enough. And to be fair, you've got the same two for me there.
Yeah?
Yeah, nice. Billy Madsen. Because I think with Billy Madsen, that's the first of his films I think I seen properly.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's always stuck in my head. Obviously, you could have gone Big Daddy, The Waterboy, The Wedding Singer. He's got so many.
Even like Rain Over Me, some of his serious ones.
Bedtime Stories was surprisingly good. Like, I don't think anybody expected that to be good.
Where'd you rate Click?
I like it. Yeah. I think it's...
It got a bit of slander, didn't it?
All his films do, though. That's the thing with Adam Sandler. And my thing is, I always say this about film critics, is you've always got to take what they say about certain films with a pinch of salt, because they're there to be critical.
Yeah.
Like, and you're not going to get, like, this person. I think some critics go into watch films with the wrong mindset. So you'll get a critic who's, they might have done Martin Scorsese's latest film on the last one, and then you go into an Adam Sandler film. You can't go into them with the same mindset.
Yes, you can't.
Because if you start comparing fucking an Adam Sandler film to a Martin Scorsese film, then they're going to be fucking different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Adam Sandler pretending that he's got a magic remote that can stop time and fucking rewind and fast forward and all that. You know, it's just not quite as good compared to The Departed. Well, fucking obviously.
Obviously, yeah. It's never going to be
it's
as
just,
good.
Yeah, stuff like that is stupid. But anyway, yeah, his films always get a bit of slander.
That's why you just go in, have your own view, and that's it. It's yours alone.
Yeah. Next one. Leonardo DiCaprio. Again, that's a tough one because he hasn't really got many bad films.
He hasn't got really any bad films. Blood Diamond was good, but I think maybe that's his worst. I don't know if that accent is meant to be as it is, but it is.
I'm going to have to strongly disagree with Blood Diamond.
Okay.
Blood
Diamond's
amazingly done. Perfect.
Yeah, but we're trying to go. I know what your least favourite's going to be.
Yeah, you do.
Favourite. I don't know. It's hard. See, I'm trying to think of his films, though. I like him in Gangs of New York, actually.
Yeah.
He's good in that, yeah.
Did I get it, brother? I got it. Yep, you got it.
Catch Me If You Can is your least favourite, we know that.
Yeah, highly dislike that.
And what's your favourite?
The Departed.
Yeah.
It was only going to be that or Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
But I think just The Departed. The Departed is the film, I was going to say, yeah, no, The Departed is the film he probably should have got an Oscar for, Leo. And then The Wolf of Wall Street is probably another film. He's had so many films that he should have got an Oscar for.
I think he eventually got Shutter Island. He got it for The Revenant,
yeah. Which, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed The Revenant. I thought it was a very good film. But it's not the film he should have got the Oscar for.
Is that better for performances?
Yeah. Leo's a tough one, as I say. For them, he's only ever really done good films.
No, another one that I forget about.
Even Titanic, to be fair. He's good in that.
I was questioning that, to be honest with you. The other one that you forget about is Django as well.
When he cuts his hand for real and carries on, wipes the blood on Kerry Washington's face, which must have freaked her out.
Yeah, some determination now.
I suppose it's adrenaline, isn't it, as well? If you're in the heat of the moment and it's just you're in the zone, then you're just going to carry on.
Yeah.
But it made the scene better.
Yeah.
And it's like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight when he crashes Harvey's party.
Yeah.
And he grabs Rachel.
Yeah.
So she didn't know that was going to happen.
Oh, so that was improvised.
And she'd never seen Heath Ledger in the Joker makeup at the time. That was the first time seeing him.
The fear on her face
was legit. Yeah. She was genuinely shitting herself.
I know the one that stands out is the hospital scene. Where he blows it up and they had a malfunction.
I read it wasn't a malfunction. You know, it was someone like playing a prank on him, kind of thing, to see what he'd do.
And he just plays it on.
So I read it wasn't a malfunction. I don't know how true that is, but I like to think that better because it just got a better thing for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he crapped himself.
Played it well, like.
So with this one, you're probably going to have the same worst film as you did for Adam Sandler, because I know I have. Al Pacino.
Jack and Joe. Yeah,
where's Jack and Joe?
Favourite shit.
Oh, God.
I knew he'd struggle with these, so that's why I done it.
Favourite? It's not Scarface anymore. For a long time it was Scarface.
Yeah, you used to love Scarface.
But it's not that anymore. Favourite's probably Fuck You, Quinn.
I'm
stuck between Dog Day Afternoon, The Godfather and Carlito's Way.
All good films.
Which one? Yeah.
Say, all good films.
Well, I don't know which one I'll pick. I'm going to go Godfather because, oddly enough, I don't know who produced it, but they didn't actually want Pacino to be Michael. And I think it was Francis who said, listen, like, you need to keep him on. He's going to play the part well. And
interesting.
He did. Still one of the most loved bloody gangster films, I guess you can say.
So, yeah, obviously, worst, Jack and Jill again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go favourite. Probably one that probably gets a little bit underrated, in my opinion. I'm going to go Donnie Brasco.
Oh, yeah. Donnie Brasco was good.
I just think he's good in it. Like, I think him and Johnny Depp had really good chemistry in it. Like, they worked well together.
It's based off a true story as well.
Yeah, and I've always enjoyed films a lot more that are based on true stories.
And then
final one, John Travolta.
I thought that's why
I threw it in, because I thought I'm not really like into him loads.
Why not throw Denzel in?
Face Off is very good, obviously. Denzel in because I didn't think you could pick a worse one for him.
Yeah, true. Okay. I'd probably go with Face Off. Face Off is a good one. Travolta.
The worst one.
Doesn't he play a woman in that?
Yeah.
In which?
Hairspray.
I mean, I haven't seen her, so I don't know.
Sure, he plays a woman. He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I've seen that, but I can't remember. So I'm going to say Hairspray.
Okay.
Because obviously it can't be good if you don't remember. No. The only thing you remember is him playing a female.
Yeah, I suppose. Favourite, Pulp Fiction. Easy.
Obviously, yeah.
Worst, Battlefield Earth.
Which?
Exactly. Battlefield Earth, he plays like an 8-foot alien.
And you've watched it?
Apparently, yeah.
An 8-foot alien?
Something like that, yeah. And the invade Earth. Weird.
John Travolta invades Earth as an 8-foot alien.
Yeah.
What's his voice like?
I can't remember. It was that long ago, and I just remember it was shit.
I don't know if like aliens have weird voices, but did he do an alien voice or did he do Travolta? Because that just would have been weird.
I think they probably just do. Again, I can't remember. Like, you'd have to have a look at the trailer or something or any scenes from it. But yeah,
I don't think
just...
I want him.
See, I didn't mind The Punisher. I thought that was all right.
Because it was so
badly used. I think with The Punisher, because you've got Bernthal and he's basically the best Punisher. It's a comparison, isn't it?
It looks bad in comparison to Bernthal's Punisher, but for the time, when there wasn't really many Marvel films out and stuff like that, or they were like here and there, it was like you had the first Blade, I think, was out at the time, or had been out, and then you had like Spider-Man, the first one.
Yeah,
there wasn't much in the way of Marvel films, so for this, it was very violent, and I say I didn't mind it.
Wow, this is Marvel,
it had a decent story. Like, it was a bit cheesy in places, but it had a decent story, and it was. I say I didn't mind it myself. For John Travolta, not really seeing much of him, so I'd throw that in and see what you thought.
Good question.
Thank you.
Questions, technically. Last one. So it is another MMA one. So obviously Diaz, he's returning. First of all, are you looking forward to it? And second, what other fighter, if any, would you like to return?
Yeah, mate, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
So yeah, I am. I think it's been, I don't know how many years it's been since he fought, like, but he's always been entertaining. He's a good fighter. And I think someone like Robbie Lawler, I think it's good. Robbie needs something to get him motivated again, I think.
They've got that history as well, haven't they?
Yeah. You know, obviously the first fight before. 17 years ago, Robbie had hair and everything.
yeah.
Like, it still weirds me out seeing Robbie Lawler with hair, you know?
Yeah, I know. It just looks weird.
But yeah, no, I think it'll be a good fight, as I say. I think it'll motivate Robbie. And as I say, Diaz is always fun to watch anyway, so I think it's going to be good. What about you?
And the good thing for him is he can smoke weed and he hasn't got to worry.
Yeah.
They've fucked her off now.
Well, that's it. I mean, they sell their own pre-rolled spliffs now, don't they?
Yeah. When Nate smoking at the press conference?
Probably. I mean, to be fair, they were still smoking weed when he couldn't smoke weed anyway.
Yeah.
And somehow not getting fucking...
That's why he got banned for 5 years for smoking
crazy,
marijuana.
Isn't it? Crazy. What about you? You looking forward to it?
Yeah, I had that chat with Chris, we were speaking about it, and it was more of will he return, and obviously he is, so yeah, definitely looking forward to it. I don't know how that fight's
any other
go,
fighter
though.
I'd want to return. I think it'd be a bit cliche if I said Khabib, so I'm not going to say him.
He's not returning.
I know. Frank Mir.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why. I think he's just the first person I thought it'd be great to see him with some of the current crop of heavyweights.
Yeah.
And see how he fares. Because obviously I think later in his career, Frank Mir has become a bigger heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he'd do well in the current heavyweight division. I think heavyweight's the type of division where it doesn't matter if you're a bit older, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you're bigger anyway, you know what I mean? So I think he'd do well. Like, I think something like him and Stipe would actually be quite fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing with heavyweight. Like, anything can happen.
That's
in heavyweight. Like, anything can happen anyway. But with heavyweight,
more so with
heavyweight. More so, yeah.
And it'd be the one for you.
The one that I thought you might have said, Lesnar.
Yeah, I was going to go Brock, to be fair.
Because I think it'd be interesting to see what he'd be like with the current heavyweights.
Yeah, definitely, you know, definitely.
Especially without the word that I can't pronounce, diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis.
That, yeah. Diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis.
Anyway, I think it'd be interesting to see what he.
God sake,
like.
Brock, have an easier to pronounce disease.
I think Brock. I'll go with Brock. I never thought I'd go with Brock, but yeah.
Like I say, I think I've said it before, Brock is one of them fighters who I appreciate more now that he's been gone for years, kind of thing. I think he, because of who he was, people wanted to see him fail, and he never, and it pissed people off. But then when you actually go back and watch his fights, it didn't look the most sort of clean and the most polished, but it was devastating.
Yeah.
Like, and people going, oh, his punches are ineffective because he just... The little tiny punches. I was like, yeah, but the little tiny punches with a fucking 6XL hand.
And they add up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he was smart.
At that time as well, he was getting compared to Carwin because they had, like, similar hands. I think Carwin was bigger, weren't he? And obviously... I
think so, yeah.
Carwin could put people out, but...
Actually, I think his fight IQ...
To see come back, Carwin.
Yeah.
Without the injuries and that, but...
Carwin versus Ngannou, so you get knocked out first.
Fucking hell.
No, I just think with Brock, I think his fight IQ was very high, obviously because he had the wrestling background, the proper wrestling background at college and that. So his fight IQ was always there, and I think people just thought he's not going to be able to punch or kick or anything, but he could.
Yeah.
So he proved a lot of people wrong.
I think it's similar with Clarissa Shields, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
a lot of people thought she wouldn't do well, and she ended up winning. I think she got a finish, didn't she?
Yeah.
And it was on the ground. So
that's what I mean. People like to discredit others because they've come from elsewhere and think, oh, you shouldn't be coming into our game. But then, you know, they've got to start somewhere. Look, you know, Greg Hardy's another one.
Yeah.
Former NFL player. It's been a few. And, you know.
And he got knocked out by Tui Vasa.
Shuey.
Yeah, Shuey Tui.
He did. So, yeah, that's the question portion of this anyway. And then, as we said, we just want to... What we're going to... Basically... What we've been doing is we've contacted a few of the gyms in and around Liverpool to try and just collaborate with them on a few projects, and thankfully we've had a few positive, should we say, I don't know if you can really call them meetings, but we've had a few positive discussions on what we can do and what we can do alongside some of the gyms and some of the fighters and stuff like that. So we're obviously not going to reveal anything too much now until we've got it all planned, but it's looking positive. It's looking like a different direction for us to go in, but something that'll, you know, be positive.
Yeah, and I think it's just trying to move away from the whole Zoom and that, isn't it? You know, it's a different dynamic.
That's what I mean. The world's starting to get back to normal. You know, it's one of the reasons we wanted to do this like this today because, well, one, we didn't know how to use the equipment.
Yeah, it took us like an hour to try sort it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say why it wasn't working at first. but yeah, it's this is just the way we need to progress. You know, we want to be doing face-to-face interviews with fighters that are local.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if we have to travel a little bit, it's no biggie. It's something that we want to do, so we'll do it. Obviously, there's going to be fighters that we're still going to have to do over Zoom and stuff like that if we get any American fighters or just American-based fighters. I don't think my car will get over there, to be honest. I don't think I'll be able to drive that far.
You could do. It would probably take quite a few days to get over there.
Probably. So, So, Zoom will obviously still be used for some things, but in general, hopefully now, we can do more in-person ones like this than not.
That's it, we're just looking on doing a natural progression, aren't we, with the podcast, you know, level up essentially.
Pretty much. But yeah, obviously, thank you everyone for the questions. Just keep an eye out because we will have more interviews coming up soon, I'd imagine. I don't think we've actually got one planned at the minute, have we? But we've got people waiting in the wings kind of thing, but nothing's set in stone at the minute.
Yeah.
Because Keaton's days and works are all fucked up at the minute.
Thank you. Yeah.
We'll get back to the interviews. But I was actually looking at it the other day, right? In our last 10 episodes that we've done, 6 of them have been interviews.
Have they?
So we've smashed the interviews recently, to be fair.
I think that's why sometimes, like, doing these ones, and just, you know, help break her up. It would
yeah.
A bit more fresh and that, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Hopefully this does turn out as well as it felt like it's gone. and yeah, we'll be back again soon. So thanks for listening.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.